Schöschwab ist in Mlenowitz. Dein Schwacher. Und Paul ist wieder hier in der Raum. Best of Sashama been asked to say a few words specifically on behalf of the show, on behalf of Mr. Fiddler. I wanted to ask Mechida from the Kehila. I only found out very late last night I'm going to be speaking. I would have liked to absorb more input from the Kehila in terms of, I feel I'm, my only right as supposed to be speaking here is a shliach of all of you. But ultimately, I have to share my perspective on the Rav Zatzal in terms of from the shul. I do want to just take the opportunity because, despite the fact that I had my relationship with the Rav was through the shul, I had my own personal, like all of us, I had my own personal, deep, meaningful, loving relationship with the Rav. And I do want to take opportunity just to express tremendous loss that only with the passage of time is getting worse, and the painful sense of a lost opportunity. It's a really painful. Last Friday night, as I took out the garbage, the pain of not having the Rav Zatzal sitting around my dining room table, being able to share his insights, his Das Torah, with me, with the Tzibur. But I'm not here to speak about personal, intimate relationships, though there was that and there was many, but I would like to, as I said, Bezras Hashem, speak from the perspective of the Kehila, what I believe he created. Like the Ramban says with Masa Ovas Simen Abonim, the Rav Zatzal, Masa Ovas, he created the DNA of Kehila based Tefillah Yonah Avraham. Everything that he represented and everything that he did is now part of us. That is our DNA. That is who we are. That's our identity. So it's almost trite to say Hakaras HaTov, because it's like a son saying Hakaras HaTov to a father. Your chiyus is dependent on your father, but then there's Hakaras Tov, and the Rav always told us the importance. Hakaras Tov is the attitude of the Chovas Havava. So Hakaras Tov to the Rav, the most nefesh 24/7 in every single way. But specifically, I wanted to mention the Hakaras Tov to the Rebbetzin. The Rav would often speak about the Rebbetzin's Mesiras Nefesh. He used to say to me how he always felt bad. There's that aspect of coming to Eretz Yisrael that was the one taking the Rebbetzin from her environment in America and her parnasa and job and what she was doing. And he used to speak with a lot of pride about the Mesiras Nefesh of coming every Shabbos to Ramat Beit Shemesh. And he always used to say to me, he has no idea what's waiting for him when he gets home on Motzei Shabbos, who stayed in the house that Shabbos. The house was hefka. It's mind-boggling to imagine. I have trouble letting somebody go into my room, and the hefka to allow people to stay freely, not knowing who they are in his house. The mysterious nefesh for the Rebbetzin is not mavan me'elav. But ultimately, when I think of the Rav, I think that he was the most principled person I ever met and probably will ever meet. He had principles that were unnegotiable, and the significance of having principles that are unnegotiable, it means that when there's a difficulty, when there's a hard time, so then you pull out your principles and they're uncompromising. We all know we have to have bitachon, and we all know you've got to tell the truth. It's easy to have bitachon when everything's going well. It's easy to have bitachon when Hashem's in charge of your panasa, when panasa's good. It's easy to know that Hashem runs the world when your health is good. But Rav Milanovic Zatzal had principles that he used and could rely upon when things were challenging, when things were difficult. And he taught me, he taught the Tzibur, it's in the DNA of the shul, You don't compromise a fundamental principle in order to solve a problem. There's a fundamental principle, you stay by it. You have to sort out the problem however you sort out the problem, but it's not at the expense of a fundamental principle. So I wanted to share just two or three, but again, it's only from my perspective. As everyone said, as Nehemia said, the role was multifaceted, impossible, everyone had his perspective. My understanding of some of these fundamental principles, no chidushim, but how I saw the Rav behave and manhig the kehila, which is now enshrined into the DNA of the kehila. The first principle is the hardest for me to explain. I can't actually put my finger exactly. The Rav had a certain vision of the world, that the world operates, this is how I understood it, in harmony with Torah. It wasn't that that if you keep halacha, Hashem will look after you. It wasn't like a bitachon, and it wasn't even like a stuck of a rice of bara amo. It was much more fundamental and practical. He really held that the metzias of the world, Hashem created the world, like nature operates harmoniously with the Torah. Like if you just, it's only when you get in problems when you start looking for terutim. Everything flows much more smoothly according to the Torah. And I think I was looking in Chovas Havavos, the Rav would often quote the Cheshbon HaNefesh that we should all go through, the 30. So one of them, I think it's the 6th or the 7th, he has a lashon there. He says that your limbs don't ever rebel against you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a tenai kavyachol with the Torah that if you keep the Torah, everything will operate according to how it should operate. If you don't follow the Torah, then things won't operate. I feel this was like a fundamental global perspective on everything, that the everything operates harmoniously according to the Torah. Point number one. Point number two, which I've just mentioned, everyone's mentioned it, and for me personally, I think it's a shir in its own right, is the middah of MS of the Rav is the beginning, the starting, the truthfulness. Again, because it was a principle, there's only a meaningful to talk about it when it's awkward. To talk about the truth when it's easy, that has no mashmas. What was so meaningful about the MS of the Rav is that it would be MS when it was the most difficult time to be MS. The countless examples of the most uncomfortable situations between him and other outside the world. But more importantly, I think the biggest nakuda that the shul and we can all take is the uncomfortable truth between ourselves. The Rav taught us to be honest with ourselves. It's very uncomfortable. But if we're not honest that our avodas Hashem is not what it should be, then how are we going to fix it? If we can't admit to ourselves that our davening is not right, how are we going to improve our davening? If I can't say that I don't get dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I shake Arba Minim, then how am I ever going to learn or improve my shaking of Arba Minim? If I can't admit that I've got an anger problem or my middus or I've got ego, I have a bondage of self, then how am I ever going to attempt to fix that? The Rav was able to confront very awkward, uncomfortable truths and say maybe the world is not working out for you because your avodas Hashem is lacking. There aren't people who say that. Who's going to tell you that you should be working on your avodas Hashem and maybe things could be a bit better if you actually davened a bit better? The Rav had an unbelievable confidence in who he was, together with his self-awareness that gave him, because he was just and I'll tie the last two together. I don't want to be my trip for Tibor. Together with his unbelievable confidence, he had the complete, there's no pretentiousness. He was completely self-negating, and that's what gave him his confidence, because it was never about the Rav. The confidence that the Rav instilled in the DNA of Beis Tefillah is, you don't need to worry what people are saying about you. When we had the Rav as the manhig, you don't need to worry, when, like the Shemitah example, we didn't need to worry what other kehillahs would think about our approach to Shemitah, because Rav told us this is the Mahalach. The confidence, because of, like Nehemiah said, he went through the sugya, he held this was MS, and then, but it was never because it was about his shitta. It was because that's the MS, that the confidence to know who you are, to know your identity, to know, and then not worry about what other people think. But that comes from a place of Batsnei Leches. That comes because the Rav, it was never about him. It was never ever about him. He used to say to me, as long as he got a mezuman for his shir, you know, it was never about, there was no covered the idea of, you know, a Rav with a humbug or a frock. Nothing would be more absurd. It was never about him or his place. It was always about the tzibur. It was always about the kehillah. I was once an email back and forth about whether we should have an oneg one Friday night. So some people said yes, some people said no. And like the Rav was like copied in, you know, just like quietly watching. We should have the oneg Friday night. We shouldn't have the. And then the Rav wrote to me. This was his nusach. He said, "I'm just a bouncing ball. Just tell me where I need to go, and whatever the tzibur needs, that was enough. A bouncing ball." So I think that really, that's really the nechama for the family, that the Rav's legacy, the DNA, lives on in the kehillah. Everything that the Rav taught us, the fundamental principles, to be uncompromising, that these are the principles, come what may, will guide the kehillah, will always be part of the DNA of the kehillah, and ultimately that's what the Rav would want us to focus on. That would be the biggest schus for his neshama, that each one of us takes responsibility for ourselves and the kehillah to grow the kehillah beruchnius as much as we possibly can, to achieve as much as we possibly can, and that would be the biggest schus for him and his neshama. Abiyah God Tzedek and Herav Yomeinu. Amen. Yeah.